So the first, our first speaker today is Jason Blanchette, and he will introduce himself and tell us what he's going to be talking about.
Hi, I'm from the Boston Medical Center. I'm a project coordinator. Primarily, I work on a research project funded by the NIAAA. Evaluating the effectiveness of alcohol state-level alcohol control environments. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about myself for now. My presentation is on characteristics of adult binge drinkers, quantity consumed, beverage preferences, and subsequent driving. I have no disclosures, no relationships to disclose. So binge drinking is a leading risk factor for a variety of health and social outcomes. Overconsumption of alcohol is the third leading cause of death, about 80,000 deaths a year. But few studies have measured the contextual factors surrounding adult binge drinking. So we looked at how much adult binge drinkers were drinking, what it was they were drinking, and their driving after binge drinking. So binge drinking occurs depending on the amount of alcohol a person consumes. And for men, that's five or more drinks. For women, that's four or more drinks on one occasion. And so binge drinkers are people who engaged in binge drinking on at least one occasion during the past 30 days. And a drink, a standard drink, is the amount of a beverage that consists of about 14 grams of pure ethanol. So we got our data from the CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, which is the world's largest national telephone survey. There's a core survey that's conducted every year. And this core survey has a variety of health questions, including questions on alcohol use, quantity and frequency of alcohol use. And every so often, the CDC offers states the option to administer a binge drinking module. And the last time the CDC offered this was in 2008, and 14 states opted to administer that binge module. So we have data on 8,000 adult binge drinkers from 14 states. And the questions in this binge module referred to the last binge drinking episode. There were questions regarding how many drinks they had. It was broken down by the different beverage types. And for pre-mixed drinks, people have different names for those. Some people call them alcohol pops. Some people call them flavored alcohol beverages. And then another question was about the location where the drinking occurred. And there was one about driving within 2 hours after binge drinking, and then money paid for alcohol drink, which is the first time that question was on the binge module. And that question was only administered to participants who reported consuming their alcohol in a licensed establishment, because it was believed that those participants would be most likely to accurately report the amount of money they paid for alcohol, because they were drinking the alcohol paying for on that night, instead of taking it home, drinking some, saving some for later. So our analysis was just the total. We looked at the total number of drinks that binge drinkers were drinking on that last occasion, the proportion of the beverage types, and the prevalence of driving after binge drinking. So binge drinkers typically consume levels exceeding the threshold for binge drinking. The mean was 7.5 drinks per binge drinker. For men, it was 8.2, women, 5.6, and men reported a large number of drinks for all of the other categories. Younger binge drinkers consumed a larger number of drinks. Hispanics reported the most number of drinks. The more often a person binge drank, the larger number of drinks they consumed. During their last episode, what was really interesting is this price paid per drink. The less money a person paid for their alcohol, the more they drank during that episode. And even though this did not reach statistical significance, there are a couple of notes to make about this. And the first one is that it has been established, that there is a relationship between the price of alcohol and alcohol consumption among the general population. That means that the higher, the more money it costs to purchase alcohol, the less people drink per capita. But this is never really, from what I understand, this has never really been looked at among binge drinkers. So this relationship may exist among binge drinkers. And about the statistical significance, I would point out that this is a smaller sample size than the rest of the sample that we analyzed, because the price paid per drink was only among those who reported consuming alcohol in a licensed establishment. Another interesting point here is the amount of alcohol consumed in licensed establishments. I would direct you to the 10 to 12 category and the 13 or greater category, and notice that over 30% of the respondents who drank their alcohol in a bar consumed 10 or more drinks. And what's really interesting about this is that 47 states have laws that prohibit over-serving in a licensed establishment. So it seems that those laws are being largely ignored. So looking at what people are drinking, it's mostly beer. Binge drinkers predominantly drink beer. And this is the case for every category that we looked at. Men, of course, consumed more beer than women, but even among women binge drinkers, the predominant beverage type was beer. And same for all of the age categories. And it also existed among all the higher risk binge drinking categories, those who are younger, 18 to 20, those who binge drink frequently, those who drink a higher number of drinks, and those who drive after or who drove after binge drinking. So the prevalence of driving is that about 8% of these participants reported that they drove within 2 hours after binge drinking. And men were more likely to drive after binge drinking. And further, since men are more likely to binge drink, a very large proportion of all driving episodes are of men. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about drinking in a licensed drinking location. You can see that the respondents who drank their alcohol in a licensed establishment were far more likely to drive after binge drinking. And even though I don't report it on here, the drinking in a licensed establishment was only about, I think it was there only about 32% of all of the binge drinkers reported drinking their alcohol in a licensed establishment. But yet, it consists of about 43%, almost half of all binge driving episodes after binge drinking. So this is just looking at the adjusted odds ratios for everything I just reported on driving after binge drinking. So all of these variables were included in the regression model, and the model also included socioeconomic status, education, and I don't remember what else, but you can talk to me after if you'd like to know. But again, you could see that the licensed establishment, those who consume their alcohol in a licensed establishment were far more likely to drive after binge drinking. So there were a number of limitations, and the first one is that these drinks, number of drinks are likely conservative because people underreport the number of drinks, partly because they don't always want to they don't always want to tell someone exactly how much they drink. Sometimes they just forgot they drink so much that they forgot how much they drink. And also, non-responders typically drink more. There's the telephone survey response rate was only 55%, and the data are limited to 14 states. But despite the conclusions, despite the limitations, there are some conclusions we can make from this. Is that binge drinkers are typically consuming alcohol at levels exceeding the thresholds defining binge drinking. And from a public health perspective, alcohol control policies should not be more lenient for beer than for other beverages. But unfortunately, alcohol control policies are often more lenient for beer than they are for distilled spirits. And excise taxes are a prime example. I don't think there's one state where beer is taxed equal to or greater than distilled spirits. What's currently my home state is a prime example. Massachusetts beer is taxed at only like 1 penny per 12-ounce drink of beer, and although distilled spirits is not that high either, it's like 4 or 5 times higher than beer. And then also promulgating laws and policies to prevent overservice of alcohol in establishments licensed alcohol could substantially reduce binge drinking and impaired driving. As you saw, there is overservice occurring in licensed establishments, and many of them are driving when they leave those licensed establishments. So the laws against prohibiting the laws prohibiting overservice are really difficult to enforce, partly because they're easy for the licensed establishments to fight against in court, because it's based on often these defining intoxication is often based on a subjective. Is very subjective, so it's easy for them to fight against. But this would be something to look further into. And so I think I'm out of time here, so I'm gonna wrap it up.